Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson, and this is ADVIA.media. We are in the first day of December, 2015, and it is the last month of 2015, and for which it's been a roller coaster year, so I'm really looking forward to getting this last month over with. I am going to start by doing the general housekeeping. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit outside. People have no idea about the noise levels. The Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. I am calling regarding we're calling for the veterans to try to wake up. We have to realize in this nation that we have people that will try to buy our votes. And we have people that don't pay attention to our votes that are currently in Congress that previously have bought our votes. Now, if anyone is not paying attention, we need to be aware of the fact that our veterans are in need of assistance and advocacy. This is one of the reasons why we constantly ask veterans for their support. Projects of ADVIA, whether it's our whether we're dealing with our issues regarding being able to live as disabled veterans, for the purposes of having a quality of life, it just isn't there these days. And we owe ourselves a lot better. We have to do a lot better by ourselves. Because when we don't do better, we have a hard time in life. And the thing is that we have businesses that are running around. We have businesses that are running around in the United States. We have businesses running around in the United States doing business, shaking down our vets. They shake down our veterans because of the fact of the matter that we are having a very, very hard time in that these ways that we are dealing with society are not addressing the needs of veterans, truly. Now, we hold congressional meetings and everything like that, but we do not have the accessibility to our veterans. I have on the phone our Washington correspondent and our Northern California correspondent. Good evening, ladies. How are you?
Good evening, George. Good evening, Marilyn.
Good evening. So I just wanted to start off with that little piece of news. I mean, we were talking yesterday about the fact of the matter that veterans are really, really having a very hard time in this society because of a lack of money and that there is no money. And I'm going to keep telling that because I've obtained a piece of the American Congress legislation that says that there is no money. It appears that Marilyn is wrong from the call, but that's where I am this evening, Steph. What do you have planned for the show?
Well, I was just going to talk about some of the stuff that was happening at Mather and a course of action to resolve the problems that we're having up here, which involve, you know, all of the VISNs. As you know, VISN is Veterans Integrated Service Network, and we're divided into 23 regions. I'm 21. I'm not sure what you are, Dr. George, but ours includes, you know, Sacramento and includes Redding and everything in between. And we have some very major problems. Vets are dying a lot more than you hear about Phoenix waiting. There's one doctor with malfeasance who we have 7 victims, and another one got a little bit of press coverage for his lack of care, and he almost died, but he had some resources. And that was in Woodland, California. The nurse who exposed it, she is still, let's just say, so traumatized by the viciousness of the attack, the thoroughness of it, total psychological warfare. And she's not the only whistleblower. You have to discourage whistleblowers if you're going to keep your fiefdoms up. There's been too many beatings up there. There's been too many abuses of power. There is one doctor, one in podiatry, who got promoted, but who does not do the best medical practices, sees fewer patients than anyone else, and yet gets the same pay as another one who travels extensively, sees 3 times the amount of patients per day, and yet they can't get anything done. It's not fair. Let's say if you're a doctor and you're seeing 8 patients a day, and the other one is staying later, getting there earlier, working harder, and is seeing over 20 patients a day, sometimes up to 30, which doesn't sound like much. However, when you consider the amount of time that you need to spend per person to do the right job, it's not being done. Jobs promised are not happening. As you know, Dr. George, there was a $1 million payoff for one of the malfeasances of the same doctor who's been investigated for 20 years. State knows it. VA doesn't care. But they listened to $1 million.
I really wish our Marilyn was here, because this is something that proves that we are dealing with a nationwide issue, that we are having that are negligently treating our veterans.
And they know it. As we know, they hate reforms. They don't want reforms. They are a behemoth. They're a total monster. There are good ones, and there are bad ones, and there's the rest of them that don't give a damn as long as they get their paycheck. And that's got to stop. I don't know if the answer is competition. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I know several proposed answers. But we just have to get rid of the bureaucracy attitude. We're having very few administrators control the rest of the people.
You do have some
comments. Just one second. I'm broadcasting from a hospital room. I need one second. Dr. George, take over.
You know, we have the name of this organization is America's Disabled Veterans in Action. And I would like to tell everybody that we are truly veterans in action. We do what we can in order that we are able to bring forward a cohesive program to discuss what's going on in different areas of the nation. This is a very important thing and a very important aspect of ADVIA. Every day we have this talk show. Every day we try to bring you a different perspective from around the country. It is up to you as our listeners to give us a call on our Brooklyn Navy Yard phone number, which is 347-884-8078. I would like to also remind everybody, as today is Giving Tuesday, this is the day that most organizations give money to organizations that they support for the year. I would like to ask everyone to please give consideration to supporting us. We need your help. We certainly do need your help right now here at ADVIA. And your support goes a long way in helping us to bring the mission to you. It costs, folks, for us to bring you this broadcast. It costs thousands of dollars each and every month. And if we don't have your support, we go lacking. So the thing about it is that we need to make sure that our audience is aware that this is a nonprofit. This is a nonprofit broadcast. And it was funded by one veteran up till this point. And what we have to now look at is we've 2 years on the air, and to this date, I have not had 10 donations as a nonprofit. Now, I'm not complaining about that because this is a valuable service, and those of you that appreciate this, I'm glad to be of service to you. But it comes at a very high cost. It comes at a very high cost of a veteran making sacrifices, a veteran that often goes without eating, a veteran that goes without several other things in order so that we as a community can have a place to get news and information of what is ongoing in Congress currently, because we don't get the feedback from the main media. So it's kind of important, folks. You know, when I started this organization, it was for the fact of the matter that we needed to make sure that we had a media group that focused on our areas around the country. And I wasn't the only veteran that saw this need. All of the veterans that you've heard from over the 2 years that have graced these airways have been to help for the betterment of our cause. Are you back with us, Steph? I'm sorry. It appears that we've lost our hostess for a moment, but we will continue while I try to get her back on the phone. So, folks, our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347 347-884-8078. 347-884-8078. One moment, folks. So, yeah, I'm working the switchboard. That's why I'm kind of having a moment of cognitive dissonance. In the fact of the matter, I have a very hard time working the switchboard as well as keeping contact with what I'm doing. It's kind of a cognitive disconnect. It happens to many veterans that who suffer from head injuries. I mean, we pay for it's one of the ways that you can tell that Dr. Anderson is a disabled vet, because sometimes he has a problem multitasking and you have to get out of the malaise and try to force yourself forward to think through whatever it is that you're dealing with. That being the case, we are actively trying to get our hostess back at this moment. Well, let's see. What do we have on the agenda? Let's have a peek on the Facebook page. Let's have a look at the Facebook page of the Senate. The Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. Let's have a look and see what they're talking about. Well, on Thanksgiving, the chair wrote, "I am most thankful for the men and women serving in our armed services. Thank our war fighters, our veterans and their families. From my wife, Diane, and me, a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours." We have to look at the fact of the matter that we have to do better. We have to look at the fact of the matter that we have to do what we can. And we must speak up about our plight. I'm trying very hard to get our host to the show, and it's a little difficult to get her right now. So I am going to try to hold out and hopefully realize that she will call back in within a few minutes so that we can have a full show for you today. Our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to let us be a source of news and information for you. Unfortunately, what we have out of Congress is news of the senator Senator Isaacson, placing a note of gratitude. Well, Senator, I would like to see a little bit more than just words. We need to have a clean veterans bill. And while I respect you, Senator Isaacson, because you represent the office of the senator Georgia, we need you to understand that in 37 states, including yours, sir, that a veteran cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment in most cities. And that should be the standard. A veteran should be able to afford that as a disabled veteran on their income at minimum or home. I don't know who gave people that it is right to constantly do this to our veterans. These are things that go back not just for us to Vietnam, not for Iraqi Afghanistan, not for Panama, not for the Cuban Missile Crisis, but go all the way back to times of General George Washington. And it is important that we speak up on the issues that are that matter. We cannot be purchased for by our vote. Donald Trump is out here selling and talking about what he wants to do for business, for veterans, but he won't talk about his past. Folks, you got to understand, if you sell your soul to the devil, you can't ask why you're still in hell, because it's not going to change under him. He's trying to get an office right now, and he's willing to buy your vote. You guys need to start asking some very serious questions of him and of all the candidates, Hillary and Bernie and anybody else that's working, because men like Donald Trump, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, and Ted Cruz don't have a clue of the lifestyle of a veteran. And although they may talk a good game, it's a different game. A man who has served may have a better chance. But we even see that that's untrue from the Republican Party when we look at Mr. Sessions, who says that veterans' entitlements are a luxury that we can no longer afford. Sorry, I don't mean to get so riled up, but I'm just at the point where we have had enough is enough of the abuse of the American veteran. Stephanie, you're back.
I dropped the phone, cracked the screen, and it took a while to reach and get back, but I am back.
Well, I was just going on about veteran abuse. You know, I was talking about the veteran abuse here that we constantly go through. It doesn't matter where you are in the nation, you go through it anyway.
That's so true. It's as long as we have administrators who are more concerned about their paychecks and their bonus checks and everything going smooth in their fiefdom, then we're not going to have any change, and nothing is for the good is going to happen. If we were to take the top administrators, all the heads of the VISN, and have a citizens panel, and basically, and it's also open to the public, where we talk about what's really going on and how they are helping veterans, and everything open. We could protect privacy, but we need accountability. Like I was just talking for, what is it, a month or two ago, before my long hospital stay, about the fire we had up here. Devastated. Worst in the state history up here. And the VA puts out all this press fluff, how they were taking a proactive stance meeting the needs of the veterans. How they called 1,400 veterans who had lost their homes. And they couldn't understand why everybody's living up here was laughing their butts off. Well, let me see. If you live in a rural area, you're not going to have signals worth a darn for a cell phone. You have a fire, your towers are going to be taken out. You have a landline and your house is burnt. How are you going to answer it? There aren't roads going up there. The fire is jumping all over. So how can you say that you are getting them their meds, you're getting them their needs, and you're calling them when it was physically impossible? There's no infrastructure. And they are too so disconnected, they can't even figure out that they're serving a rural area. And that's where most of the fire was. And these people just have the clothes on their back, because a fire might jump a quarter mile down the road in any different direction. This wasn't like any other fire they had, and the devastation still melted. It was so hot. It was fast moving and jumped. And you never know where it was going to. That's how people couldn't get their animals. They couldn't get anything. Some of them even had to run barefoot. So, like I said, I had a couple of Red Cross people, and they saw that the vets needed med and other things. So I got called, because they know that I don't put up with bull. So I did the inquiries and found out that they put out all this ridiculous press, didn't meet a single need. And finally, you know, getting congressional stuff, they passed it so that any vet could go to any pharmacy and get a 30-day supply of their meds. The only requirement was that the pharmacy had to actually be standing, because a lot of them were destroyed. I guess what I'm saying is the only thing that's going to help us is accountability and action. Because you can't keep hiding behind closed doors and phony press releases.
It is really distressing to me that people hide behind these press releases and everything else. You know, it's not right. If you get this office, we are supposed to be able to have a way of getting in touch with our men and women who serve. If you will talk for a moment, Stephanie, I'll bring up that link.
Okay.
Did you hear me?
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, you bring up the link, so I just want to say 347-884-8070.
You just talk for a minute.
Okay. And I'm not just picking on Mather. I'm not just picking on Vision 21. I'm picking on all of them. And especially the 16 who have the audacity to pressure the secretary, who's supposed to be their boss, because they don't want reforms in military sexual trauma. They don't want to deal with it. So they have some sexual predators among their ranks. So what? So they're trying to deal with in best practice methods for those that are suffering military sexual trauma. They want it ignored. They don't want to spend the money on it. They're trying to fight that PTSD from MST is not the same as PTSD from, combat. Well, guess what, folks? PTSD is a medical diagnosis. Meet the criteria. You have your stressor, and a doctor makes the decision. He makes the diagnosis. And here we have the VAs trying to say it's not the same. Good Lord, are you just as dead whether it's a 22 or a 50 cal? Your body may look different. You're still dead. And it doesn't matter whether you died from a 45, a 9, or worse. Dead is dead. PTSD is PTSD. It's the same. Civilian-wise in SSI, they have a lot of Hell's Angels and other biker gangs receiving SSI. Oh, why? Because they saw some police brutality.
Look out for that place, get me! It's coming!